My name is Michelle O'Roon. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 26th of September 2009 and the time is 5:21 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
My name is Lindsay Fenner. I'm 26 and I'm from London, but originally from Sussex.
When did you move to London?
2006.
And what prompted the move?
Work. Just a new job.
Can you tell me a bit more about what you do?
I am a broadcast assistant for BBC Radio Comedy. So I work on programmes like The News Quiz and That Mitchell and Webb Sound and lots of other things. They're the two that I've done most recently. And I sort of administrate and do things for those.
Did you always want to work in radio?
I always wanted to I've always been interested in comedy. I never really thought until I was two-thirds of the way through a degree in computer science that people actually did get to work in it and do it for a job, rather than having to do a proper grown-ups job. After I finished my degree in computer science, I started trying to sort of get bits of work in comedy.
And have you done any comedy yourself?
Not since university. I used to do sort of student radio and bits of presenting student union events and those kind of things, but never in a real world environment.
What does it actually entail, your day-to-day role?
A variety of things, really. On a radio show, there's two people who work on it. There's the producer who makes the sort of creative decisions, who they're going to cast, script edits it and stuff like that. And then there's my job, which sort of does everything else. So it's, you deal with booking actors, stuff to do with scripts, all the sort of tedious admin, but then also, you know, setting up the show and from, you know, mailing out the scripts to getting the sandwiches to just lots of different things. It's quite a nice varied job. Yeah.
Could you describe what you're wearing for me, your t-shirt?
I'm wearing a t-shirt which is for the Bone Cancer Research Trust, which is a charity that's deals with research into bone cancer, specifically Ewing sarcoma and osteosarcoma, and I'm wearing this t-shirt because a friend of mine from university died in May this year at the age of 24 of bone cancer, and so I've got a couple of friends who are going to be collecting in the square whilst I'm on the plinth, and just sort of raising awareness of that, and also just as a kind of nice thing for him, even though it probably won't make a tremendous amount of difference. It's sort of a gesture, really, and it's a nice, hopefully a nice thing for the charity, because they're a very small charity as well.
Is this a friend at university?
Yeah. It was a friend. I used to do RAG at university, which is charity collecting and events management, and all the proceeds go to charity, and he was someone that I knew through doing that.
So. And how are you going to be getting your message across on the
plane? It's not going to be the main focus of what I'm doing when I'm up there, but I'm going to sort of mention it, and obviously by wearing the t-shirt, hopefully on camera, and both, I would hope it's sort of visible enough for people to see who are looking, if, I don't know whether they will be able to or not, but they should be able to. And also, you know, so it's going to be on camera.
Is there a website where people can make donations if they want?
Yeah, bonecancerresearch.org is the website, and my friends are going to have some, they've got some leaflets and information about it as well, which they can dish out to people.
Did you approach the charity, or did they approach you?
I approached them, because I thought it would be a good thing. There's a variety of charities that are sort of related to it. There was Macmillan, and I can't remember what the other one was. It's another green one. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was Macmillan and Marie Curie were both charities that were very helpful to him and his family when he was sort of in his last few months. But I figured that they are big charities and a lot of people know about them anyway, whereas this being a smaller charity probably doesn't have the sort of people don't know about it in the same way.
Can you remember how you first heard about this project?
My friend Colin told me. He went, they're doing a thing where you get to stand on the plinth. I've applied for it, are you going to? And then I did, and then Colin moved to San Francisco, so Colin doesn't have to go on the plinth. So Colin is going to be getting up and watching on the internet and then posting sarcastic messages on my Facebook wall, I imagine.
Why did you want to take part in the project?
I thought it'd be a giggle. I didn't really think about the practicalities of it. I didn't really think that I'd get chosen. It was quite a surprise to get the email saying you've been chosen. And it's been 8 weeks of stool-loosening terror. Going, what am I going to do? Oh no, everyone's going to be looking at me. And then half the people going, oh, it'll be fine. Then half the people going, well, you signed up for it. So, yes.
Did you have lots of different ideas about what you might do?
I had lots of small ideas, but it was trying to... It was difficult to try and get it into something that was cohesive rather than just going, and now I'm going to do this, and now I'm going to do this. So hopefully the thing that I'm doing will make it sort of... there'll be an overarching sort of theme to the hour,
Would
I'm hoping.
Would you like to tell me more about what how you're going to spend your time?
I've nicked a flip chart board from work, which some of my friends have very kindly helped me carry all the way down from Oxford Circus just now. And I have done a variety of... I'm going to play a game of Hangman. I've got two whiteboards. One, I'm going to put a flip chart, like a roll of flip chart paper, which has got pre-dashed Hangman words onto it. And then I'm going to get people, hopefully, to shout up letters from the upper bits where by the portrait gallery... and I've printed out some big letters they can hold up if I can't hear them, and then yeah, play Hangman with them, and then a couple of the things are going to be have other actions attached to them. For example, one of them is a happy birthday to a friend's sister who is going to be in the area, so I'm going to hopefully get her to guess that, and then at the end play happy birthday on my ukulele, and then everyone can sing happy birthday to her. And hopefully she'll like that. I've never met his sister. I'm hoping it will go down well. He seems to think she will. But generally the theme of the things that people are guessing. There isn't a word for it's like hangman-y or something like that. They're just things that I like and things that are good. There's some films, some TV series, some cafes in London, some various bits and pieces.
What are you doing with the film idea? You mentioned some films.
Oh, just some of the things that they're guessing, some of the words will be, like one of them is The Shawshank Redemption, because according to the IMDb that's the best film ever. It's number one in their list of the top 250 films.
Is it your number one?
I've never seen it, so that's going to be exciting for me. Maybe I will see it after this, I don't know.
How long have you been playing the ukulele?
Oh gosh, I bought a ukulele about 3 years ago, I think, and it periodically comes out of the cupboard, and I have a little strumble, and then I put it away again for a while. I'm not very good, but I can master the four sort of basic chords, which is enough for happy birthday, I found.
Do you play any other instruments?
I have a habit of buying unusual instruments that I tinker around with for a bit, and then and get to the point where I can play about four chords on any of them. I play the violin I used to play the violin when I was a child, properly, if you like, in an orchestra and stuff, and I've also got I play the guitar a bit, although not as well as I used to, and I've sort of got a melodica and a penny whistle and those kind of things as well, and I've bought a harmonica, but I've no idea how to play that.
Was it quite easy to teach yourself the ukulele?
Yes, there's a lot of... it's quite a popular instrument. Within the last few years, I think largely due to the Ukulele Orchestra of Great Britain being excellent. And I think that people have seen that. And also because you can just pick it up and play it. And there was the London Ukulele Festival in July or August this year, where they broke the world record for the largest simultaneous strumming of a thing, and it was Sloop John B. And there was about 900 people all in this place in the city playing that together, and that was excellent. And I did that with my sister and some friends. So yeah.
Whereabouts did it take place in the city?
I can't remember, somewhere near Liverpool Street. It was like an undercover, it sent something, something.
What do you do when you're not working?
Normal things that people do when they're not working. Well, there's a lot of sort of seeing stuff that relates to the working in comedy, so there's a lot of nights that are spent at going to see, you know, comedy and plays and things like that. Which is not really part of work, but kind of is related to. And I like cooking dinner for people, and I don't know, going for walks.
Did you go up to Edinburgh this year?
Not this year. This year was the first year in 5 years, 6 years since 2000. Yeah, since 2004 that I didn't go up, because I was recording a show across August, and therefore. Couldn't really justify the expense of getting up there and back for spending a weekend there. Really, it was so I promised myself that I will replace my ailing laptop instead of that. That's going to be the thing that I do instead of going to Edinburgh this year.
What kind of comedy do you like to go and see?
All sorts.
Are there any comedians that you really like?
Well, the best comedian, and I say that absolutely objectively, is Daniel Kitson. I think he's the best stand-up comedian, certainly, that's in the UK at the moment. He's very, very good, and he does these gigs down at the Hob in Forest Hill, which are great. I think he's in Australia at the moment for the foreseeable, doing a tour, but he's very good. But lots of things, like lots of character comedy nights and sketch nights and stuff. It's quite the Penny Dreadfuls are a young, they're about the same age as me, some guys who've come from Edinburgh University, and they've done about 3 or 4 Edinburgh shows now, and they're very good, and they've had a couple of series on Radio 7 as well.
So how did you just going back to what you were saying earlier on, you were at university doing computer science,
mm-hmm.
How did you make the leap between doing that to working in BBC Radio 4?
I left university. I temped at BT for about 3 months, doing sort of vaguely computery stuff for them, setting up spreadsheets and databases and things like that, over in Sevenoaks. And then I just applied for as many jobs as possible at the BBC. Got turned down for probably about 30 or 40 jobs, like a lot of jobs I got turned down for. And then got a job working at a company that's now called Red Bee Media. Working on the thing that was the forerunner to the iPlayer, which was called the IMP, and it was just sort of encoding programs for the IMP, and it was all, I mean, it was largely dreadful, like Homes Under the Hammer and Cash in the Attic, and you know, why would anyone want to watch these once, let alone again? So a lot of things like that, and I did that for about 6 months, and then a guy emailing off asking for work experience and stuff like that, emailed a guy called Gareth Edwards, who was about to produce a new sketch show called That Mitchell and Webb Look, and he very kindly let me come along for a couple of days work experience with them, and then they sort of went, oh, do you want to come back tomorrow, and then a couple of days turned into about 7 weeks, and then off the back of that I got offered a job in TV comedy. And so I worked in TV comedy for about a year, and then I applied for the job that I'm doing now, didn't get it, carried on working in TV comedy for a bit, and then got offered it again when they had a space for another person. So that is my potted history of my life.
Before we started the interview, you were talking about an idea you had for a radio show, possibly for Resonance.
Oh gosh. This is going on the interview. No, it was just, me and my friend Gareth, who is a very funny man, and who is actually now works for Radio 4 as a contract comedy writer. So he's got like a year's bursary to sit in an office and write funny stuff all day. We used to do a show on university radio, and when he's only fairly recently moved to London, when we were thinking about doing it for Resonance FM, but we need to chase it up.
What kind of show would it be?
Well, it would be similar to a show that we used to do on student radio, which is it's basically an hour with a narrative arc. So it's kind of situation. It's with music as well, and it's kind of it works like link music. So it's not music heavy as such, but it just breaks it up a bit. And so the idea is that situation happens at the start of an hour, situation plays out across the course of an hour, situation is resolved at the end of the hour. Yeah, that's the format of the thing that we used to do that was fun.
Have you written much comedy in between?
No, I have no time to do anything apart from my actual job most of the time. So he has though.
Did you choose three words to put on your profile?
No. I couldn't think of three words. Well, I could think of three words, and stool-loosening terror was the phrase that was running through my head, but I've already used that I thought having my face with those three words next to it probably wouldn't go down well with my family if they decided to watch it online.
Does your family know you're taking part?
Yes, my sister should be coming, although I just had a text saying that the exhaust has fallen off her car. But my mum and dad were going to come, but actually it's quite a long way for them to come up. It's quite an expensive day to come and watch something that I don't know. I'll just watch it on the internet, it'll be fine, don't worry, don't feel obliged. So
what in particular was it that you found frightening?
Everyone looking at you. I know it sounds ridiculous, but when I applied, I sort of didn't really think it through, and it was just Colin went, this will be a good thing, and I went, oh okay, I'll do that, and I didn't expect to get picked, but I think I've thought it through. Also because I wouldn't want everyone to look and think, oh, you haven't made the effort. But I definitely have made the effort. I think the idea of doing it and people thinking that you're rubbish or that you're objectionable, I think is quite a scary thing. I suppose it's because I know a lot of people who show off for a living, and therefore I suppose you automatically compare yourself and you go, oh god, what, they're really good at doing what they do, but it's, I'm not a professional, so it's fine.
Are you a shy person?
Yes, but I realise that that's not a way that you can really live your life, so you have to do things that terrify you. I think it would be very easy. It would have been very easy to go, oh no, I don't want to do it. But I think I would probably in the long term regret that more, because, oh, maybe I should have done that. So I'm very much the idea that you should do stuff even if it scares you, because in an hour and a half's time this is going to be over, and no matter how frightening it is, and nobody's really, apart from the people I know, nobody's really going to care, because there's 2,500 people doing this, so it's not as if everyone's going to look at you and laugh at you forever, like in a bad way.
Have you had fun putting it all together and organising what you can do?
It's been quite scary, up until last night, about 10:30 last night. I think once it started to take shape, I'm very good at procrastinating. For example, last weekend I invented a fantastic new curry and made a lot of gingerbread men because I was supposed to be doing this. So, I'm very good at procrastinating. But once I actually got down to doing it, it was kind of fine. But I originally had a plan for a thing, which I then found out that it was the Eid in the square, and didn't want to... And then when I'm probably going to have to change all this, because it relied quite heavily on sort of talking to the audience and showing them stuff. And I thought, well, I think at the time when I made the decision, it wasn't actually confirmed what time the Eid would be finishing. And I thought, well, there's no, if it does clash, then it's absolutely ruinous. So I'm going to have to come up with something else.
Would you have preferred a slot at a quieter time?
I think it is what it is. I don't know. That's very theoretical. Who knows? I think it'll be, well, for the thing that I would have probably done something different maybe if it was going to be at 4 a.m, because there wouldn't be anyone around to interact with, apart from maybe some very committed friends. Yeah, I don't know.
Are you looking forward to it now?
Yes.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I don't think so. I think it seems like a good thing. It's quite a fun thing. Yeah. I hope it goes all right, I suppose.
Thank you very much indeed.